The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now premiering on the Studio DNA Network, Civ Pop Writers Room, a new show consisting of the writers of CivPop.com. On a rotating basis, we'll be discussing some classic movies we're watching for the first time, some comic book movies, some nostalgic movies, and what TV shows we're currently watching. But each week, we'll also be taking a look at the movies that are coming out soon and give our thoughts on how we think they will turn out. If you love movies, Civ Pop Writers Room is the place to be, so come on in and we will pull up a chair for you.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Episode 87. My guest is Austin French. You have a special place in my heart with one of your songs because there is a listener in South Bend that was convinced that you were singing, "This is my freedom ham."
Yeah, I mean, it was a big hit around Thanksgiving. You know, every year I see a spike in streams just around Thanksgiving time. Everybody's Thanksgiving playlist. It's great.
So you do love meat. I was trolling on your Instagram and I saw a stellar t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. It looked like a McDonald's medium fry, red box, golden delicious fries erupting from the box, but yeah. Your name was on it. Is this a real shirt like from you?
This is a real shirt. Yeah, so I was on a TV show back in 2012, and one of the judges, her name was Kesha, and Kesha like coined the phrase on the show that my fans were like, they should call themselves the French fries. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to run with that. And I designed a t-shirt, got a McDonald's fry, you know, positioned it the perfect way, and then put my name on it. And yeah, you can find those at the Austin French merch store. To this day.
Let's start off in Cordell, Georgia, population 11,147. If I'm going to visit Crisp County, Austin French, where do I purchase the tastiest watermelon in the quote-unquote watermelon capital of the world?
You would go to the farmer's market and just buy it out of an old school bus that they cut the top off of. And that is the most delicious way to find a good watermelon.
Did you know growing up that this is indeed a special place where the watermelons grow?
Dude, absolutely. We had watermelon festivals, watermelon seed spitting contest, watermelon eating contest. I mean, it was the whole nine yards. Actually, the first talent show I was ever in was the Watermelon Festival talent show. And I sang, what did I sing? Oh, I sang Wild Wild West by, it was a cowboy western song. And I had a little cowboy hat and I threw it into the audience. And, you know, I'm a showman. I started as an early age and I won the Watermelon Capital Talent Show at, I think I was like 3 years old. And yeah, it runs in my blood, man. Watermelons. The legend goes that the Watermelon Crawl was written about Cordial, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, the singer stopped by and there was this festival going on and he wrote the Watermelon Crawl about my town. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it makes everybody in Cordial feel pretty proud.
And how are you in 2020? How are your watermelon seed spitting skills today?
Oh, man. I mean, just as good. I got a little rusty for a while because I didn't do it very often. My wife thought it was gross. But now I have two little boys that think it's awesome. So, oh, yeah, for sure we have seed spitting contests right in the backyard here.
Was mom a teacher at school? I thought I saw a video years ago about you being in a musical and mom kind of led the charge.
Yeah. My mom taught music in our house growing up, so in our living room. And so we didn't do daycare or anything like that. It was basically she put our crib in the living room growing up. And so we just listened to people play piano and sing all day. And my mom tells the story. She was teaching someone a Celine Dion song. And I was like 2 years old in the back of the van. And she turns off the car to get gas. And she's like, "What, Lauren," which is my older sister. She's like, "Lauren, why are you still singing that high note? Jeez." And my older sister is like, "It's not me." And they look back and I'm in my car seat singing some Celine Dion song at the age of two. So it was just in our blood, man. That's how we grew up. I didn't know it wasn't weird to like sing about everything until I went to school and I'm like singing, going to the bathroom songs. And they're like, "Dude, you can't do that here. That's just weird." And so I finally stopped like last year and yeah, I finally learned my lesson.
How many siblings?
I have two. I have an older sister and then a younger sister.
How come I'm not hearing of the three sibling group French in the Christian music scene? Why did that not happen?
Well, we all like had different tastes. So my older sister loves Broadway show music. And so she did off Broadway stuff in New York for a while and did musical theater. And then my younger sister is going to be amazing. She has an incredible voice, but she's still trying to figure out like her spot and her genre, but she sounds just like Adele. And so she is trying to find like her own thing. And I'm really excited to see what she's going to do. Very like jazz, bluesy kind of voice. So, and then I wrote worship music, you know? So like we all chose our own thing. Now, when we get together, we all sing and have the family harmony thing. And it's definitely there. It drives my wife nuts because her family's all athletic and my family is not athletic and all we do is sing all the time. So when we get together, it's like, oh, like, can you guys stop singing?
Aside from the Wild Wild West song that won you the Watermelon Festival Championship, do you remember any musicals you were in growing up?
So we were big on like Motown. Like I loved the Motown music. And so I did a Jackson 5 medley 1 year. And then I did a Temptations medley 1 year. And I'm not talking just sang it. Like I dressed the part. So had an afro, a vest, like there's incriminating photos out there that I don't ever want anyone to see. I wore a purple suit 1 year and slicked my hair back. Oh, my mom definitely led the charge on those costumes. Eventually I stood up and was like, no more of these. But yeah, I did show choir and did all that kind of stuff too in middle school and high school. And definitely did the whole chorus choir kind of thing for a while. And then I was like, man, I just want to play my guitar. And that happened somewhere in high school and started a couple bands and things like that. So yeah, I never did like musicals, like community musical kind of thing, but did the talent shows pretty much every year.
Follow-up questions. Favorite Jackson 5 song?
I don't know if it gets better than ABC. It's just, it's an incredible song. super approachable. And I love young Michael. Michael was a showman. I mean, it's hard to beat that, you know? So if you listen to the lyrics of these songs coming from like a 10-year-old kid, it blows me away. Just the things that they were saying and the intensity and tenacity of this group. So yeah, I think that's probably my favorite song. And then that's my favorite Jackson too, would be Michael.
You said you had a couple of bands in high school. I'm going to have to know the names of these bands.
Oh man. Okay. Well, the first band ever, I mean, both of the names were super awful, but the first band was, it was four of us in our youth group.
Okay.
And it was an acronym. It was EACH Day. So it was Each Day.
Each Day.
It stood for Elizabeth, Austin, Carmen, and Holly.
Yes.
Yep. And then Each Day we live to glorify the Lord. And then that band dissolved. I was the youngest. The girls went off to college. It dissolved. And I joined forces with a couple other buddies of mine. And we came out with another acronym. Why not? I mean, I was really big into acronyms. And it was LOL, Live Out Loud.
Yes, LOL.
Yeah, we thought we were real trendy. And turns out it was just kind of lame.
Did you ever write a song called Acronym?
I didn't. I should have written.
It seemed like you really had a kinship with acronyms. I'm surprised that didn't happen.
That's on my new record. It's coming out soon.
Actually, knowing you, it would be Acrahim. You can use that. That's free to you.
All right. Perfect. Perfect.
Who told you you could sing?
That would also be my mom. Yeah, for sure. She encouraged it. I think as music teacher kids, practicing was just like something. It was a part of our every day, you know. I think you hear of like these Olympic medalists and how they grew up. They went to the gym every day. They ran every day. It was just like all that. That was kind of us as kids, like for fun. We didn't know it was like supposed to be weird, but we just go to our room and sing all day and like practice and write songs. And that was just something that it kind of became like our safe haven and something that we could like let go of all the stress of the day just by kind of singing. So my mom definitely is the first one who like encouraged it.
I want to try to follow the right timeline. What comes first, Rising Star or Journey Church in Tifton?
It would be Journey Church. Yeah, Journey Church in Tifton. Worship pastor there. I started there when I was 18. And I was leading worship for the college ministry. That's where I met my wife. And yeah, a couple years into that, probably about a year and a half in, I got a phone call to do Rising Star on April Fool's Day of all days.
Home of country singer Kip Moore, Tifton, Georgia.
There you go. I mean, that sums up Tifton, Georgia for you. There.
Did you ever run into him at the local Dunkin' Donuts?
No, there's no Dunkin' Donuts. That's too mainstream for Tifton. You know, I may have run into him at the local tractor pool, but that's about it.
I don't remember Rising Star, so I did a deep dive on YouTube and the internet. I kind of like the idea of the sudden death and the voting on the app and the little thermometer on the side. Yeah. And if I did my homework right, Austin, like second place.
Yeah, yeah, it was nerve-wracking, man. Like, you usually kind of the first couple rounds of a TV show are pre-recorded. And, you know, they're able to edit it and make it a great show, that kind of thing. But this show started off live and you instantly know if America likes you or not by the end of your 45-second song. So it was nerve-wracking. And there's this massive wall and you're singing to this like pinhole camera in the middle of the wall. And you're just hoping, like, you have no idea what people are voting. The only way you know is if you cross the threshold, right? And the wall comes up. And man, I grew up singing my whole life. And I don't really get nervous singing, but I was shaking in my boots for sure.
And if you do the math, you were singing in front of, when all said and done, about 30 million people.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, man. Like, nothing prepares you to look into a small camera and realize 30 million people are on the other side of that, you know? Like, nothing prepares you for that.
Judges on that show, Brad Paisley, Kesha, Ludacris, host Josh Groban. I'm curious, did you ever get a chance to just pull them aside and go, all right, I got a few questions. You know, if I've got access to you, you know, career right. advice, did you get to get any of that from them other than the TV show, those little moments of like, hey, I noticed you were nervous, but you really pushed through?
Well, Brad Paisley was probably the one that kind of reached out. All of the judges reached out in their own way. And it makes total sense what they, like, in every way, what each artist said to me. So the first one was Brad Paisley. He grabbed me after, like, a red carpet thing we did after one of the shows. And he was like, man, I think you're a country artist through and through. You're from Georgia. And I just need you to sing a country song for me. And I was like, Brad, no, it's never happening.
No.
I was like, thank you. But it's never going to happen. Okay. And I just couldn't do it. And and then Kesha grabbed me in the hallway, like as we were passing by. And she was like, you're just the cutest thing ever. I would love for you to sing like something that's super like pop. And I'm like, awesome. Well, maybe not, but thank you so much. And then I was in the same elevator as Ludacris. Ludacris, all he had to say was, dog, that was tight. I was like, thanks, man.
That's it.
That was cool. That was it. That was all he wrote right there.
How about Josh Groban? Any time with him?
Yeah, actually. And Josh Groban, I've probably spent the most time with him. One of the really cool perks of doing the show was a moment where I got to go because I was one of the finalists. Sorry, I'm plugging in my computer here. One of the finalists for the show, like of all the shows, we got to go on tour. So I got to go to a Josh Groban show and like sing with him on stage and sing a song. And so that was really cool. But I got to ride with him in his tour bus. It's the first time I've ever been in a tour bus. And just kind of got to like rack his brain and just like, hey, man, like what's the advice behind the scenes? How do you do this? How do you love this? What do you do? And I will say that Christian touring versus Josh Groban touring is a lot different, but it was definitely enlightening. And I really loved hanging out with him. I basically just asked him, like, how do you stay sane? How do you stay grounded? I mean, his advice was, you don't. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He's like, your life's not going to look like anybody else's, and you have to be okay with that. And I'm like, all right, okay, cool.
You're leading worship at Journey Church in Georgia, and then you and your bride at the time head to Florida?
Yeah, so we got married in the middle of the TV show, and that was a wild ride. And then as soon as we kind of got back, the church that we were at was doing great, and it was a church plant when we started there a couple years before. It grew a lot, and kind of heard that there was this church plant. I kind of love kind of like the early like really fragile stages of churches where things are kind of messy and things are crazy. And I just feel like you kind of see God move in a really beautiful way. And so, yeah, we found about this church down in South Florida called it's called The Avenue, and it was in Delray Beach, Florida. And they were meeting in a community center. And so we decided to go down there and found out that 80% of the congregation was in active recovery. And so like they'd bus people in from treatment centers and halfway houses. And man, it was a sweet church. Like some of our favorite people in the world are still down there. And we love to go back as much as we can.
What did you take in leading worship from Georgia to Delray when you started a new adventure?
Yeah, man, when I started leading worship at 18, and I kind of inherited at Journey a bunch of volunteers that were twice my age. And I was terrified to lead them because I felt, man, I'm half their age. How are they going to listen to me? How are they going to respect me? And I realized the principle that I still try to do today. It's called falling forward. And so I'm really honest about not knowing what I'm doing or like, hey, like I probably didn't handle this the right way. And so I learned that I gained people's respect when they realized that I was honest and when I let people into the process of how I made decisions and kind of direction and vision of where we were going. then they were willing to come with me on a journey. So no pun intended. But moving to Del Rey, I had to do the same thing. It's called falling forward. And, you know, like leading a worship group of not, I wouldn't say that they were like extremely healthy, but they weren't addicted to drugs, most of them, to moving to South Florida, where most of my worship team was in active recovery, like, you know, in a treatment center or trying to get their feet like back under them after like hitting rock bottom and overdosing and getting like recovered through all this kind of stuff. You have to figure out how to lead people in a different way. And so I hadn't done anything in the recovery community yet. So I had to learn the recovery program. I actually kind of went through the 12 steps with people so I could understand how I could play a part in people's recovery through worship. And so another falling forward thing, like I don't understand your world because I haven't been addicted to drugs before. So let me understand your world. And then from there, let me learn how to lead you. And so you just kind of have to learn the people you're shepherding, you know, and make, you know, adjustments and open up your brain to realize you don't know it all. I don't know it all. There's always something to learn, and you're going to lead well when you learn well.
That starts to make sense now, thinking and hearing Freedom Hymn in my mind. That's where that song came from that time.
It is. I wrote it for a couple of guys that in the Celebrate Recovery on Monday night. So I just wanted to write them a song that they could sing. And that basically told their story. And that's what that song is.
What's it like going to bed on a Thursday night or getting up on a Friday morning and all your work is paid off and you open up Spotify and there's your song? What's that like?
Oh, it's weird. I mean, it's kind of like, it's two feelings. The first feeling is this is amazing. You know, all that work is finally out there. It's awesome, but it's also the most uncomfortable feeling in the world because you're now letting the world come up with their judgment of who you are and what they think of you. So that's really hard. It's kind of like, man, as a song and as a songwriter, I try to write songs about my life. So when you don't like a song about my life, it's easy to take that personally, you know, of like, oh man, like they don't think my story's worth listening to, you know, or those are the lies of the enemy that he likes to speak over me. It's like, hey, I don't know if your story's really going to change anybody's life, or I don't really know if what you have to say is good enough. And those are the things I fight all the time. And then the thing I have to fight back with is like, I'm just called to be honest. So I have to share my life with people. And so, yeah, opening up, saying Spotify, it's awesome because I'm super excited to share stuff with people. But it's also a little nerve wracking because now you're like, hey, I want you to rate this now, like rate my life and put it in your playlist if you like it.
Who tops your duet / collaboration list?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I did a couple crazy things since my first record came out. One, on my first record, Matthew West was on a song with me. That was like a dream come true. And then I got the tour with Casting Crowns, and then they asked me to come out and sing a couple songs with them. And that was like, okay, I could have dropped the mic and like I'm done, I'm retiring. Like this is too much. This is so cool. Cause I've been a fan of them forever. And so yeah, that was definitely on the top of my list. And then people that are still currently not just in the CCM world, I'd love to like write or co-write or even do a song with. I love Ryan Tedder from One Republic. I started playing guitar because of John Mayer. So to do a song with John Mayer would be huge. And then in the Christian world, I love like one of my favorite things I've actually done as a duet was Mandisa reached out. We were playing the same festival and she asked me to come out and sing Bleed the Same with her and the duet part of that. And that was like, I don't think I've rising star. I was super nervous, like super nervous. But then singing with Mandisa at a festival in front of people that I had literally listened to the song about 30 minutes before trying to learn the song of the duet. I knew the chorus, love the chorus, but the verse, I was like, oh man, I opened the song. I can't screw this up. It was great. But now she's asked me to do it a couple times with her, and it's been that's probably one of my favorite duets to do because Mandisa is probably the nicest human on planet Earth.
As we record this, it's National Dog Day. Are you a dog guy or a cat guy?
Yeah, we have a dog. We have a mini golden doodle. And yeah, he's awesome. His name's Teddy. He just got groomed yesterday and he looks like a rat. Happy dog day. Mine looks like a rat today.
Let me throw a couple of quick hits at you for our last round of questions, all right?
Go for it.
Last good book you read.
Oh, man. Last good book I read. What is the name of it? It's by Paul Chapman, maybe? It's a parenting book. Our small group is going through it. And I'm trying to remember it, but it's about parenting. Yeah, it's a great book.
Last good TV show you watched.
Oh, that's hard. Okay, there's a new show called Don't. That is a really funny TV show. And so we're kind of addicted to that currently. So that's the last one I watch.
Last good sounding music you listen to from someone else.
Last good sounding music. Need to Breathe's new record is incredible. So I just listened to that like yesterday.
Last good meal you had.
My wife made homemade muffins this morning. Blueberry with a nice little crumble on top. Yeah, that was incredible.
Last great quote you heard that you wanted to tell someone immediately something you heard.
You're never gonna know God unless you need him. So make room in your life to need God.
Well, give that to me one more time.
You're never gonna know God unless you need him. So make room in your life to need God.
Last thing you want to say to any of us listening right now, me or the audience.
Don't be a spiritual glutton. It's easy to read the Bible. It's easy to go to church. It's easy to listen to podcasts. But if you don't do anything with the truth that we've been given, then you're missing the point of what Jesus tells us when he exits into heaven. Like, go into the world and make disciples, baptize them in my name, and I will be with you to the end of the age. Like, that is our call as believers. And so it's take in all the information you can, grow as much as you can, but don't stop with the knowledge. Don't soak it all up and never give it out. There's a lot of people that need hope, and it's inside of you, and you're the light of the world. So shine and don't hold it in.
Wake Up Sleeper is on the Pulse FM playlist. It's starting to make its way around the country in different radio stations. Tell me about that song.
Yeah, I wrote that song about my favorite Bible story. I wrote a sermon when I was a senior in high school. And I wrote it about this story, and it's an incredible story. Jesus interrupts a funeral in the book of Luke, and it's countercultural to his time. As a rabbi, you would walk the other way away from a funeral because you'd become unclean if you touched anything dead. But Jesus says, like, I don't care about the culture. I'm going to walk up to the coffin of this little boy who's carried out on the outskirts of town to be buried on the side of town. And Jesus puts his hand on the coffin and says, get up. And this little boy starts breathing again. And later on, Paul is writing in Ephesians, and he is basically quoting this story, this parable, in a new way. And he says, wake up, sleeper, and let Christ shine on you, and he will give you life. And so as the gospel, Jesus is still interrupting funerals today. And it's our job. If you were a dead man and now living, scripture says that we were dead to our sin. And the only thing that wakes us up is when Jesus calls our name, puts our hand on our coffin, and takes everything unclean about us on himself, dies on a cross, and gives us redemption from that. And if you believe that, then you've been awakened from your slumber. But there's a lot of sleepers around us. So the song is a two-edged sword. It's a reminder that you were dead once, and Jesus called your name out of the grave, off of the coffin, and he gave you life when he said, wake up and let me give you life. But the other side of the sword is that there's a lot of people sleeping around us. And it's our job as Christians maybe to walk up to someone's funeral and say, you don't have to live in death anymore. Death doesn't have to be the final answer. Jesus wants to give you life. Wake up. So share the freedom that Jesus has given you, because it may just be enough to wake other sleepers from their slumber.
Thank God for the daylight. I spent a long time in the dark. Felt good saying goodbye. Waking up to a brand new heart. And if you're sleeping like I used to be, in a grave that holds you tight, there's a Savior calling. Promising a brand new life, he's saying, wake up, sleeper.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Everybody get out of here! There's a lobster loose! Oh, holy cow, he's loose!
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.